So great to be back with you all. I wanted to touch on one little component here. You know, we have really tapped into a vein, I think, of fourth density consciousness in such a clear, direct, and embodied way, talking about loving relationships, how to embody love from a genuine place. That's fourth density consciousness. And so in, you know, the last few months, we've been really going deep into this on these calls. I don't think I need to do any more convincing to anyone here that love is the way. Love is the savior of third density consciousness. But, you know, just in case we need some more motivation, I was thinking of how important it is to bring this conversation into emotions and feelings, because when we begin to practice loving relationship, the first big hurdle we run into is it's really hard to feel like we're being loving when we have negative emotions running through us, when we are triggered, when we feel an upset. The spiritual ego is quick to jump in and say, oh, look at you, you've stepped out of loving relationship, right? Shame on you, bad boy, bad girl. You're not being loving because you're feeling a negative feeling, right? How many of you guys can relate to that voice? That's what spiritual ego will do with this concept. It'll make a concept out of love, such as, oh, love is when you're in this mushy, gushy, all is well, no problems here kind of state. And so if you're not in that state, shame on you. You're not being loving. I'm touching it, right? I have much experience with this voice, so I can articulate it well. So like, let's look at something that will dispel this lie forever, that what we happen to feel in any moment dictates whether we're being loving or not, or whether we're in loving relationship or not. I've been wanting to do a video on this exact topic for a long time and just haven't gotten around to it. I want you to look at feminine and masculine in two different ways, in form and function. Form and function. When we talk about the polarities in their form, you know, the form of the polarity, masculine or feminine, in form, feminine is the negative and masculine is the positive. Why? Well, in form, the feminine is the womb, the void, space, right? The masculine is light, penetration. So in form, feminine's negative. In function, feminine is the positive. Service to others is a positive, radiating act or action. So the feminine represents in function the positive polarity. The masculine represents in function the negative polarity. Why? The masculine is, again, light or wisdom or knowledge. The masculine is that which takes possession of, right? The masculine takes possession of the universe through knowledge. Conquering, captivating through understanding. Yeah, that's the masculine. So when we're talking about loving relationships or being love, I want you to now from this point forward, start to think about love as space. Because again, love, the feminine, is the negative in form, space. Think about some of these similarities, really not some of, think about all of the similarities between love and space. Space is the first thing that existed in a loving relationship to all things, right? In the Law of One, Ra always says love and light. We greet you in the love and the light. Well, if love represents space, space is that which holds all things, yeah? Space is unconditional, just like love. Space is everywhere all at once, just like love. So love is space. Love is the space within which all things exist, within which all things live and move and have their being. So if we see love as space, we can solve this problem of, am I being loving, or does this feeling mean I'm not being loving? When we apply the definition of love as space and form. Is space ever not space if an object appears in it? Is space less spacious when there's a storm with thunderclouds and lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes? Like, what affects space at all? What changes the nature of space at all? We all say nothing. Absolutely nothing can touch space. In fact, in all the history of the universe, nothing has ever moved or affected or changed space. Space has always been there. So as Ra says, the moment contains love, just as every moment requires space. So we greet you in the love and the light. We greet you in the space and the light. Yeah, that's the universe, space and light. All form we see is just light in these quantum relationships. And what is containing that form or that light is space, love. So when you are feeling anger or stress or whatever, is that in any way implying that you've become you, the real you, is less love in this moment, is being less loving? If love is just the space that holds everything, then you can't become less loving, right? You can be less aware that you are love, sure. And we could say maybe when I feel angry, the intensity of that emotion will kind of cloud or cover up my awareness from remembering love's presence. But it doesn't change the fact of the matter, yeah? Just like an object in space appears to be clouding the space, right? It appears to be blocking out the space, but actually we know through science, the whole object's made of space. It's nothing but space. When we look inside objects, we find nothing but space. So even the seeming appearance of an object is not implying or creating any kind of lack of space, yeah? So when you become loving, you become like space. You become boundless or boundaryless. Ego wants to create boundaries, yeah? Separation. A boundary is a separation between you and something. Ego wants to create boundaries all the time between everyone and everything. It creates boundaries through labels, labeling everything. It creates boundaries through resisting everything. And it even creates a boundary by attaching and clinging and chasing after something. It's still a form of separation. So when you are being loving, you are in a boundaryless state of being, meaning you're not creating separation between you and anyone, or most importantly, between you and what you feel. So this is a teaching that A Course of Love teaches very well. If those of you who are reading it, you'll get to it at some point soon, that you have no false feelings, right? You have no incorrect or wrong feelings. Just knowing that, inherently knowing that, is what will take away this idea that you're in conflict because there's a negative feeling, or you're not being loving because there's a negative feeling. Just to do a quick review of our emotional guidance system, what do we know that emotions are telling us? Are our emotions speaking to our circumstances of what's happening around us? What do you guys think? Tell me in the chat. Do emotions speak to our circumstances and what's happening in this moment? Very good. A plus. Do our emotions tell us what to do? Like, is an angry feeling telling me to behave violently through my body? Can my emotion tell me that? It can't, because an emotion is a reflection. An emotion is feedback, yeah? An emotion is a response from your inner world. So an emotion is not a directive, but a reflective. An emotion is not a directive. It's not telling you something that you should do or how you should behave. It's reflecting how you're perceiving in this moment. And what kind of perception? Self-perception. So as we remember, our emotions are never ever speaking to our circumstances. So that means your anger, your sadness, your stress can't be telling you that you're behaving unloving or you're not loving in this moment. That's not what they're communicating, right? They're showing you that somewhere in your self-perception, you're seeing yourself in a way that the source does not see you. Your emotions are the direct line of communication to source intelligence, meaning the source is always speaking to you and communicating to you about the accuracy of your self-perception through your feelings. So you have no false feelings because they are all telling you the truth. Yeah? Is that too complex to understand? We all understand that at least, yeah? If I think a thought about myself that does not line up with the way that reality sees me, I will feel a negative emotion, some kind of sadness, some kind of anger, or some kind of fear. Now, we know that emotions are not only telling you that or when you're perceiving yourself incorrectly, but they're actually also telling you in what way you're perceiving yourself incorrectly, based on the kind of emotion you're feeling. Isn't that amazing? If I feel sadness, the difference in the flavor of sadness, if we want to say it that way, between sadness and, let's say, anxiety, the difference in energetic sensation of those two negative emotions is what self-perception is causing them. So we know, at least if you've gone through Master Your Mind, you know, if I feel any kind of sadness, my emotional guidance system or source intelligence is telling me you're perceiving yourself as lacking. That's why you feel sad. You believe something is lacking, something is missing. You're incomplete, you're inadequate, you're unworthy, you're not enough, you're lacking love. Something of lack is ruminating through your consciousness, to which the emotional guidance system responds with, eh, wrong way to see yourself. Here's the negative emotion that gives you the feedback to know that that wasn't a correct perception. And so there's two ways we can handle that feedback. We can suppress it and polarize to the negative, or we can thank it, accept it, and listen to the message it's telling us and polarize to the positive. Neither one is right nor wrong, but those are the only two options we have. So if we think there's something wrong or false about our feeling, we will suppress it. Even to agree slightly with the thought your ego thinks, spiritual ego thinks, when you, let's say, get triggered to feeling upset, and your ego thinks, oh, shame on you. You shouldn't be upset at this person. Shouldn't you be in love and light all the time? If you're feeling anger, you must not be very enlightened. And if any part of you goes, oh, that is in itself suppression. Now, it doesn't mean you've suppressed the entirety of that emotion. Maybe you suppress it for a few seconds and then you remind yourself of the truth, and then you open that release valve and you accept it, you allow yourself to feel it. But if we are space, if love is space, we can't not allow ourselves to feel anything. So in the moment you feel anger arising, the most spiritual and enlightened thing you can do in that moment is to feel it freely with no resistance, without thinking or judging it as being a less spiritual emotion than love is or whatever. Just being the space in which everything appears, yeah, unconditionally. When we know we have no false feelings, they all communicate truth to us, then we can naturally embrace them and thank them for the important signals they're giving to us, the important feedback that they're giving to us. So doesn't this in and of itself already sound like such a liberation? To know that there's nothing dark inside of me, there's nothing to fear inside of me, there's nothing that can harm me or take me away from perfect love. There's no enemies within me to do battle with, yeah? And so we immediately find that all enemies in our reality, even the ones we thought were outside of us, were only being made up in the mind. That my feelings have never been my enemy, But my mind has been hijacking my feelings, labeling them, judging them, assigning all this meaning to them. That's not true. And our feelings even respond to that, right? Because the more we think our feelings are telling us that we're not enlightened, we're not loving, the more negative it feels, the more we suffer. So it's more feedback that, that's also wrong. That's also incorrect. That's also not true. Nothing changes your perfect state of being. You are a perfect being in heaven, here and now. Nothing ever changes you like nothing ever changes space. I am perfect manifestation right now. That's the truth of who I am. And to know that truth, to walk in that truth, is love, is loving myself. For me to always remember, I am the eternal self. I am eternally safe in my Father's home. You know, to know that about myself, to identify truly, is the most loving thing I can do to myself. The most loving relationship I can ever cultivate is my loving relationship to myself. From there, loving relationship will flow to everyone and everything. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and the body acts, yeah? When we understand that love is the inescapable fact of our experience, that relationship is the invisible reality to the universe. You are in loving relationship to everything, whether you know it or not. We're not creating a loving relationship where there wasn't one. We're becoming aware of the fact that God has forever established me in loving relationship to all things. Established from eternity, love is the nature of what I am. Just like space is the inescapable fact. Space is what my whole body is made out of. I can't get away from it. I can't change it or alter it. When we start to tune into this awareness of love's presence, it doesn't come or go based on a feeling state. It doesn't come or go based on my actions or my merits. It only appears to come and go as my awareness sees it or doesn't see it, is aware of it or is not aware of it. That's the only thing that ever changes, is what I'm aware of. So when we truly believe in, become convicted in the omnipresence of love in us, as us, through us, around us, we're swimming in the Father's love already. When we become aware of that, a laborless deliverance will occur within us, because there's no more enemies, right? There never were enemies outside of us. We were just projecting them outside of us from within. We've always believed deep down that the enemy was here, that there's some separation from God in here, and it's a void that could suck me into it and take my soul away forever into eternal separation. I could be separate from love. There's a part of us that has believed that and has projected that fear outside and then made the external things into its enemies, because it's afraid to really look within and acknowledge that all of its suffering comes from here. And why? Because of the ignorance of love's presence. As we've said many, many weeks in a row now, love, the heart, is the only thing that can save the mind from itself. If left to itself, the mind will just tailspin out of control forever with concepts and labels and thoughts, and the whole ego game will cave in on itself, yeah? When love is introduced into the mind, that is the Son of God, the Christ, that comes to seek and save that which was lost. In 1 John, Paul said, "He who has the Son has life." If you have the Son of God, Christ consciousness, fourth density consciousness, loving awareness, if that has entered the mind in any way, then you have eternal life. The mind has eternal life, right? The mind is the only part of us that thinks it's separate. Everything else knows it's one, even the body, even the cells in my body know it. That's why they all work together in perfect harmony and cooperation. This is the only thing that is split off from unity. So it needs to be reminded, and it needs to be helped to remember its true nature as love and oneness. And us practicing being in loving relationship, us practicing acknowledging loving relationship, is the number one way that we remind the ego of its true home. So when a feeling arises, what are we to do? Be like space. Ask the same questions of space that you're asking to yourself. How do I sit with this emotion? What should I do to be loving to this feeling? Well, what does space do to any object? Completely and totally allows it to be what it is. Has space ever reached into the world of form and manipulated an object to change it so that space could be more comfortable with it? No, definitely not. Could space ever do that? No. So if you can just be the open, free space that all feelings are welcome to come and express themselves in, that's loving your emotions, right? That's a loving relationship. Being in any way, you're being like space, holding it, being the container, being unconditional in your relationship towards it, you're loving it. You don't need to overthink it, right? Just letting something be what it is without judgment is the most loving thing. So that's all we're called to do for our feelings. And once we stop making our negative feelings enemies, and again, when I say negative, I mean constricting, not bad or wrong. A negative feeling is not a wrong or bad feeling. A negative feeling is a constricting or contracting feeling. Our sense of being feels like it's getting smaller, right? More pressure. And a positive emotion doesn't mean good or right. It just means expansive, radiating, yeah? Positive emotions make our state of being feel expanded. So when we talk about the emotional guidance system, this is why I give you this really easy cue of just look to see if you're feeling more expansive or contracting. Nobody needs to question their state of being in any moment, right? Your feeling is your state of being. The way you feel in this moment is your current state of being. So no one needs to wonder how they're feeling, right? A feeling is a direct communication of truth, self-evident fact. Can't be argued with. If you feel upset, that's a fact. You're feeling upset in this moment. Upsetness is happening in the emotional body. To be the space for that upsetness, to just let itself do what it wants to do, let it feel what it wants to feel, that's what we call gross purification. Later on in Master Your Mind, gross purification is emotional purification. Ceasing this constant repression of bad feelings, unwanted feelings, and instead opening in full acceptance to them. Why? Because again, they are messengers of truth. If we don't pay close attention to our negative feelings, we will not understand or know which of those three beliefs of the ego is dominating our consciousness in that moment. If I've so suppressed my fear, my anxiety, my stress, if I've gotten so numb in my relationship towards stress in my life, I won't even notice this constant signal my emotional guidance system is telling me, is sending me, which is saying, you're believing that you're in control. You're trying to take control over life, and that's why you're stressed. Remember the truth. You're not in control, you're being lived. You're not in control, you are in cooperation. You are in relationship to life. You're not the controller of life. Controlling is a very unloving relationship. If we're not paying attention to our emotions, we'll miss all those messages, yeah? So why shouldn't you love your negative emotions with the same intensity you love your positive emotions? You absolutely should, right? They're being just as helpful as a positive emotion is. Like if I'm a pilot flying through a storm, Christine will appreciate this analogy. If I'm a pilot flying through a storm and I'm calling into air traffic control and I can't see anything because it's just storm clouds and rain and chaos, I need help from my guidance system to get me through this storm. So let's say you call in and you're like, hey, help, mayday, mayday. I can't see anything. I don't know where I'm going. Please tell me if I'm on track or not. And the air traffic controller says, ah, you've strayed off course. You need to go this many degrees north and to the right or whatever. And you're like, don't you think I know I've strayed off course? Come on, man, look at these clouds. I'm doing my best out here. Would you just lay off me? The guidance system is going to be like, yo, relax. I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to help you. Isn't that what our emotions probably feel towards us? They're trying to communicate the most helpful messages possible. And we're like, leave me alone. I'm so sick of you. So the only mistake we can make, really, in relationship to our emotions is to believe that they're speaking to our circumstance. They're telling us if we're good or bad, right or wrong. They're telling us if we have lost some of our enlightenment or whatever. We can only misunderstand our emotions if we think that that's what they're talking about. If we didn't have that, we would automatically know that our emotions are reflections of our thoughts, right? If we didn't have this egoic belief in place that my emotions are evidence for my separation, then we would intuitively and naturally know that they're just reflections of what we're thinking about. When we think a thought that's untrue, it feels bad. Thank goodness, right? What if we thought untrue thoughts and it felt good? Then we would just stray away from our true nature for all eternity. We would never remember oneness, right? We would get lost. So can you be like that good pilot that trusts the guidance system, his or her guidance system over the intercom, and just does what they say to do? I can't see what's in front of me. I'm clouded with thoughts and negative core beliefs and traumas, but you will show me the truth. If I follow you, if I listen to you, you will lead me and guide me back home again. Your emotions are divine messengers. So we can't be in loving relationship to the world, to others, if we're in an unloving relationship with our emotions. If we're still suppressing emotions, then what you suppress, you project. The second it's suppressed, it becomes a projection. It gets pushed outside, right? That's how the mind suppresses it. It suppresses it by projecting it on elsewhere, on someone else. Resentment? Well, that's not in here. It's their problem. Guilt? That's not my problem. It's her problem over there. Look, over there. There's my guilt. Her guilt. Suppression is projection, yeah? So if you don't love your feelings, negative feelings, of course, you're projecting them, which means you're not in loving relationship in those ways. So we see this perfect correlation to love of self is the acceptance of feelings. All suffering is the rejection of feelings. We know this, right, through the three beliefs. We've been studying this. We've been practicing it. All of my suffering is from one of these three negative emotions. I only suffer from sadness or anger or fear. And I only suffer from those emotions rather than listen to them because I'm suppressing them, because I'm resisting them, because I'm judging them, yeah? If I just said, oh, wow, lots of sadness is here. I'm here to listen to you, sadness. What do you want to show me today? You're welcome to express yourself here. And then we just feel this grief and this sorrow come over us and we go, oh, part of me is actually feeling like I lost this loved one who passed a few months ago and I haven't fully loved that part of me yet. Thank you, sadness, for showing me that there's still a part of me grieving. I want to love that part of me too. How simple is that relationship? How easy is that relationship? Again, it's a laborless deliverance. When you're really in the frequency of love, it's never hard. To truly love something is effortless. It feels good. It feels expansive to love. And that expansiveness is a sign that the nature of it is space, infinite space. What feels expansive feels good because we are infinite space, right? God is the infinite void in which all things appear. And so love is like that. Love is glad to welcome in a painful emotion and listen to the important message it has to deliver. When we listen to our negative feelings, they whisper into our heart and they tell us about the thought that created them. sort of like a bloodhound, right? That points when it smells the target off in the distance. Our emotions are always pointing directly at the thoughts which created them, the belief that created them. They reflect back to their source just like a ray of light reflects from its source. When we look to where our emotions are pointing, rather than blame the emotion for disturbing our state of being, but instead say, oh, this is an important message. Let me pay attention. What are you here to communicate to me, anger? And we look where anger is pointing, correction is accomplished quickly and easily. Quickly, we see what the outcome is that's on the pedestal. Literally, it's instant, right? The moment you understand what anger is actually communicating, there's an outcome on the pedestal. There's a goal on the pedestal that you're chasing. As soon as we know that's what anger is communicating, all we have to do is ask, oh, show me the outcome. Show me the idol that I've put on the pedestal. Instantly, we see it. It's so simple and easy. When we're not looking in the right places is when it feels hard to see the truth. But just like light, truth is self-evident when it's seen in its truth, yeah? When there's no filters in front of the light, when there's no clouds in front of the light shines forth unhindered. Truth is like that. Truth is self-evident, childlike, and simple when we approach it correctly. So if you aren't sure how to be loving, here's a helpful reminder. Remember that you are space. You are space appearing as this body. Be like space in relationship to everything. The sacred container, the sacred space that holds everything without judgment, without control, the unconditional acceptance of and the support of all things, right? Becoming sacred space is being in loving relationship.